My friends, we're looking at faith explored. Last week, we looked at the book of Joshua, and we saw a little bit about the faith of the people crossing the Red Sea. We looked at the Israelite people crossing the River Jordan into the Promised Land. In Joshua chapter 3, we saw that their unique faith was being displayed by being willing to step out in faith, even before the waters parted. Sometimes you've got to take that first step of faith to see God's faithfulness at work in our own lives. This week, we're going to be looking at another angle of this faith journey. The intersection of faith and fear. The intersection of faith and fear. Now, over the last couple of years, the church has been rocked with fear. And all you've got to do is look at the news. There's been stabbings. There was a man that was killed by a swarm of young teenage girls in Toronto. Gun violence, stabbings, a war in the Ukraine where a missile hit just last night and destroyed an apartment building. So where does this intersection of faith and fear come into play? We've got a lot to be afraid of these days, don't we? Some of us have been tempted to lay aside our faith and embrace the fear. But fear can paralyze you from being the hands and feet of Christ in the community. That's what we are called to do. And Donette and I have preached this from day one. You are sometimes the only Jesus that people will ever see. But if we're paralyzed by fear, we are paralyzed from being the hands and feet of Jesus in the marketplaces of our world. So today we're going to look at learning the key to holding on to our faith, even amidst the fear. If we let it, life can overwhelm us with fear. Anybody can become afraid of anything. There are a lot of phobias. I got a certain few. Donette and I, a number of years ago, had the privilege of going down and having a vacation in Bermuda. And it was when we were first married. And it was our first vacation together on a tropical island. And we saw all the sights and took all the pictures. And we walked up to the top of this lighthouse, a little spiral staircase that took us around and all the way up to the very top. Donette got out at the very end and looked over the way. Oh, look here, look at this. Oh, my goodness. And she's looking down and clipping pictures. And I'm in the back door in a fetal position. So you can guess what one of my fears is. I can't handle heights. I can't handle heights. Well, do you know that there's a fear? Pelodophobia. That's a fear of bald people. Not looking at anybody around. Pelodophobia. Oh, here's another one. The fear of not being able to pronounce words properly. Porphyrophobia. That's the fear of the color purple.
I don't have that fear.
Donette's favorite color is purple. She does not have that fear. Well, everybody's got fears. Let's face it. Every single one of us have fears. There are people in the church today who are not living up to their full potential in Christ because of some of the fears. They don't live generous lives. They don't live lives of service. They don't make worship a priority. And they don't take risks for the sake of Jesus Christ because of fear. Fear of what? Fear of what other people might say. Fear of, well, it's going to cost me too much. Lots of other reasons. But if we want to see the power of God in our lives, we've got to be willing to step out in faith past your fear and get at least ankle deep. So what are you afraid of this morning? John Ortberg, I read his book a number of years ago, and we did a Bible study on it when we were in Bowmanville. He's got a wonderful book entitled, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. A named Peter learned this lesson in the classic story from the Gospels in Matthew chapter 14. If you've got your Bibles, your Bible apps or whatever you're using online, turn to Matthew chapter 14, and we see this classic story. John the Baptist has died now in prison. Jesus has fed the 5,000. And after all this, Jesus sent his disciples out on the boat to cross the Sea of Galilee while he went up to a mountainside to pray. That's Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 26. It says this, Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Buffeted by the waves because the wind is against you. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. The disciples were alone in the boat on the water, and the author set the stage for what was about to happen. There was a storm, and the boat the disciples were in was being tossed to and fro by the wind and the waves. The Greek word here is basanio, which literally means to be tortured. To be buffeted by so much that you're tortured. The disciples found themselves in a very scary predicament. Now, each of them were fishermen. So the odd storm on the Sea of Galilee was nothing new. But it says in the scriptures that they were terrified. They were afraid. So this particular storm was particularly nasty. To the point of torturous fear. They found themselves in a difficult and scary situation, a circumstance that was outside of their control. Now, life is often outside of our control. It's outside of our control. Each and every one of us here can point to a time in their lives where they've had difficult seasons, a diagnosis, a tragedy, a crisis, a disappointment. They're the very things that often outside of our control but cause our faith to waver. It can leave us feeling vulnerable and exposed. And we can wonder where Jesus is in the middle of it. Sometimes we know people who can never quite seem to catch a break. And I wonder what they must feel in their own heart and soul from one crisis to the next, from one disappointment to the next. God, where are you in all of this? Seriously? I've got this to deal with now? Come on. Who can we trust in the middle of these crisis points in our lives? It's like the little boy who, during a summer thunderstorm, was in bed being tucked in by his mom, and he looked up at his mother. Mommy, could you stay in the bedroom with me tonight? Could you sleep in the bed with me tonight? And she gave him a big reassuring hug, and she said, oh, sweetheart, I can't stay with you tonight. I got to go and sleep in Daddy's room. There was a little bit of a silence, and he looked up at his mother. He said, that big sissy. That big sissy. Didn't hear that one before, did you?
I did not, no.
It was a dark and a very stormy night, and the disciples were being tossed around in their tiny little boat. Now, many of Jesus' followers were fishermen, like I said, and the odd storm they were used to, but this particular storm was quite nasty, and it was particularly dangerous. Matthew 14:24 says, just before dawn, Jesus came out to them walking on the water. Jesus was demonstrating his power and control over the elements of the storm. I love this saying. Whatever storms you may find over your head, remember, they're already under his feet. Whatever storms may be over your head, always remember, they're already under his feet. Hallelujah. Praise him. But the disciples saw him. They were gripped with fear because they thought he was a ghost or a spirit. Because of the fear that had paralyzed the lives of the disciples, they didn't even recognize Jesus. They'd been with him. They saw him minister. They saw him perform miracles. But because they were so afraid, they had been paralyzed. They didn't even recognize him. Walking on the water. Oh, he's a ghost, he's a spirit. They were so gripped and tortured with fear, they didn't even recognize their Lord and Savior. Have we ever been there? Are we there in these days? You see, faith is not the absence of fear. It is the result of the presence of Jesus. It is not the absence of fear. We can all be afraid sometimes, but through our fear, we can have faith. We shouldn't let the fear paralyze us so we cannot recognize Jesus in the situation. We can have faith. Immediately Jesus spoke to them. The words he said to them are echoes of the most repeated command in the Bible. 200 times in the scriptures, God told his people not to be afraid and to take courage. 200 times. It's like we don't get it. It is the command given to Joshua before they crossed the River Jordan, as we discovered last week. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. In this passage of scripture, it seems as though God had to hammer it home to Josh. He didn't get it. Three times God tells Joshua, do not be afraid. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, verse 7. And verse 9, God says, be strong and courageous. And finally, in verse 9, God says, have I not commanded you, Josh? Like, seriously, dude. Have I not commanded you? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. There's the paralyzing effect of fear. We can become so fearful and be paralyzed. Oh, it doesn't matter anyway. So why? And then discouragement sets in and depression and It's just a mighty spiral downwards. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So our new leadership ministry team, don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God's got your back. Hallelujah. Facing uncertainty in a new land and the crossing of a flooded body of water, God told his people to have courage, not because all the obstacles will be suddenly taken away, no, but because his presence was going to be with them. And the same is true in this passage as well. Jesus tells the disciples to take courage in the middle of a storm because he was with them. Matthew 14, 27, 29 says, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said." Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Taking a step of faith, getting in ankle deep. I can see it in my wild imagination. The waves are buffeting. The wind is howling. The rain is coming in torrents. Lord, if it's you, I want to come to you. Okay, come. So Peter gets out of the boat. And he walks on water. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. Hallelujah. Jesus' most comforting words to the disciples are, "It is I." What are the storms buffeting your life right now? What are the challenges buffeting your life right now? Diagnosis, a foreclosure, loss of a job, a spouse, a loved death in the family. I know what that one's like. Discouragement, defeat, discouragement. What are you being buffeted by right now? Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. It is I. I am that I am." They didn't have to be afraid because they were often not alone. Maybe someone needs to hear that right now this morning. You are not alone. You can have faith in the middle of what you're going through this very instant. Jesus is with you. He was with you, and he might be with you down the road. He is with you now. You can do hard things and make a difference for the kingdom, even though you may be fearful. It does not disqualify you from trusting and obeying Jesus. You were created to live in faith. Dr. E. Stanley Jones was a missionary and author, and he once said this, "I'm inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. These are not my native air. But in faith and confidence, I can breathe freely. This is my native air. You are the air I breathe." We sing. "You are the air I breathe." That is a song of faith. John Hopkins University doctor said this: we do not know why it is that worriers die sooner than non-worriers. But that's a fact. But I, who am simple of mind, I think I know why. We're inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain cell and soul for faith and not for fear. God made us that way, he says. To live by worry is to actually live against reality. That's coming from a Johns Hopkins doctor. The Apostle Peter lived in that reality of faith. Look at Peter and Peter's response to Jesus' presence to ask him to invite him out of the boat and onto the water. I think Peter had seen Jesus do so many miracles and amazing things throughout their ministry together that he longed to face his fear and get out of the safety of the boat to do what Jesus did. I would argue that many of us feel the same way deep down. Deep down, we long to be invited out of the boat of a comfortable life to see God do amazing things. What takes you out of your comfort zone in your comfortable Christian life? There's a song that we sing sometimes, I don't want to be a comfortable Christian. I've seen so many comfortable Christians in their pews over so many years saying, bless me, Pastor, I dare you. I dare you. It's not my job to bless anybody. It is my job to preach the word. God does the questioning. God does the blessing. All we have to do is get out of the boat. But to see things, we have to be willing to get out of the boat. Jesus' response to Peter's invitation, come. That's all he says, come. Lord, if that's really you, command me to come and I'll walk to you. Come. Come on. And Peter's response, he gets out of the boat. But we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. I look at Ortberg's book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Get Out of the Boat. And in his book, he says this. Out of all the disciples, there was one who had enough faith to walk on water. There was one who actually walked on water for a couple of seconds. Right? Out of 12 disciples, there were 11 failures in the boat. And we often think that Peter was an actual failure. Oh, Peter, why did you doubt? Oh. Peter was the one who responded in faith and actually, for a couple of seconds, actually walked on water. Peter was the one who, when he cried out and he starts sinking, save me, Lord, he was the one who experienced the saving power of a risen Christ. While there was 11 others cowering in fear, paralyzed by fear. It was really you, Lord. Tell me to come. Come. Okay. But for a split second, he knew the miracle of walking on water. Peter obediently got out of the boat at Jesus' invitation. Right before the disciples' eyes, a miracle took place, and Peter was walking on the water. That is the goal of the Christian life, to respond to God's call, to trust him, and have the faith to take risks for God. Are you ready for it? And those risks that we take for God are going to bless others in our community. Are you ready for it? Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But just as quickly as Peter steps out in faith, for a split second, he takes his eyes off the Lord and he looks down. And what happens? He starts to sink. Matthew 14, 30 to 33 says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Here it is again, the paralyzing fear. He began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached down his hand. Hallelujah. He caught him. He says, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Now, Jesus says something to Peter, of you of little faith. Peter had faith enough and he walked on water, but that was a little faith. The guys in the boat had no faith. They were paralyzed in fear, but imagine Peter's little faith. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And Peter got out with that little faith. Faith as big as a mustard seed can move a mountain. When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Peter's faith flaw was that he let his eyes focus on the swirling waters around him and not remaining fixed on Jesus. If we're honest, we've got a tendency to do the same thing. Though we have started by developing a deep faith with the eyes on Jesus, if we're not careful, the worries and the conditions and the circumstances of the world will creep in. The struggle with faith is not that it does not, struggle with faith, that is, it does not have a long shelf life. Many of us try to live off recycled faith. We don't take the time to nurture a new and vibrant trust in God that is renewed each and every single day. The danger in this way of living is that our eyes can drift from the Savior. Can drift to the circumstances of our lives. And we can sink. Maybe you have felt your eyes move from Jesus to the painful situations in your life. We are wise to respond the way Peter did. Lord, save me. Save me, Lord. This is the proper response to fragile faith. There is no shame in reaching out for Jesus' rescue. He is our ever-present help in time of need. As Jesus pulled Peter from the water, he had asked him why he had such little faith and why he doubted. I wonder who Peter was doubting, though. It could not have been Jesus, because Jesus was still atop of the water. Jesus was still standing in the water. He was standing there strong enough to pull another guy up and to walk him over to the boat. So Peter wasn't doubting Jesus. Peter must have been doubting his own ability to do what Jesus was doing. He was questioning his own ability to trust. The key is keeping our eyes on Jesus, because he is the one who provides the power to live the full life of God. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Once Peter and Jesus were back in the boat, the waters calmed down. The disciples worshipped him because they knew he was the Son of God. And I believe today that Jesus has given each and every one of us the same invitation. Come. Time for you to get out of the boat. To leave the comfort and security of the boat, of the comfortable Christian life, to step out onto the waters of audacious faith, to see the power of God working within you and then working in the community that's around you. working in amazing ways. There's always going to be waves. There's always going to be winds. There's always going to be opposition. We've been studying the book of Nehemiah. There's always going to be opposition. But if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, amazing things can happen. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together.